Hope you have been able to follow along in the book of Philippians, perhaps during the week. It's such a short epistle, such a short letter that you can probably read it every single day. And I hope that you have been enjoying it and the Lord has been speaking to your heart about it. Would you pray with me as we get ready to just examine these words? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity today to worship you with God's people, brothers and sisters that you have brought to the throne of grace. Lord God, would you speak to our hearts? Would you allow us, Lord, to understand you more, understand your heart, and also through this man who one day will see and meet such passion for you that we would grow deeper in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it's not an easy thing to experience the kind of things that the Apostle Paul experienced. You know he's in prison. We've been going through it. You know that he is chained 24/7 to a Roman soldier, not even having any time alone at all. You know that he is deprived of freedom, deprived of any privacy whatsoever, anytime. For 2 years, he was going through this. Every 6 hours, there will be a change of guard. Another soldier would come and be chained to him, a short chain, and that was his life. Worse than that, he's hearing things about him. Now, people are going to attack you. If you're a Christian, you follow the Lord, you believe in the Word of God, you will be attacked, as we as Christians have experienced for 2,000 years. But he was also attacked and criticized and demeaned and put down by Christians in churches. It's unbelievable to think about it, but Christians who wanted to rise above him, so they put him down. All those things. And yet, still, he was able to say, as we begin here, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. But in this passage that we read, there was something else. You read about a man, a person, that in the phrase that we use sometimes, that was all sold out, you know, all in. There was nothing lacking. It wasn't one foot in, one foot out. He was all in. He was sold out completely to his faith, to what he believed in. And it's not easy to find, because today we have a lot of people, including perhaps some of us here, maybe sometimes in our lives, we are kind of partially in. We're afraid of the consequences if we actually went all the way in, you know? And we do that a lot. This is a common human nature thing. But you know what? When it comes to the faith in God, if you want to experience the kind of lives that God has in mind for you, you and I, we have to be sold out or sold out. So today we want to look at a few things, four things here that the Apostle Paul writes about that I think is really fascinating. You can feel his heart. You can sense who he is, you know, when we read about these things. First of all, he talks about his confidence. He was confident. And the first verse here talks about that. In verse 19, he says, "For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." Have you ever had a confidence like that? That you just know that, you know, you may not know all the details, but you just know that you are going to be okay. Now, if you go through scriptures, it talks about that in Romans. We talk about Romans 8, you know, and we read about those kind of confident statements that God is going to make everything work out. And it's not when everything is working out. It seems like everything's not working out. When you're in prison, when you're chained, when you're suffering, when you're going through this trial, you just don't think things are working out. But the Apostle Paul had a confidence in, you know why? Because he was confident in the Word of God. He was confident about the promises that God has given to him. Do you know how many promises are in the Word of God? You know, I share with you, when I was growing up as a teenager, one of the things that we had, we didn't have all these devices, you know, cell phones, on and on, we don't have, but I had a little book. It's called a Jesus People Promise Book. And in that book were all these promises in the Word of God. You know, it was categorized and dealing with peace and joy, whatever it is, you know. When I was going through certain things, I would flip it to that category, and there they are, the promises of God. And I could be confident that those things are going to happen because God said it. So Paul had a great confidence about his life because of what God has said. Not only that, he also talks about the prayers that the people were praying for him. You know, sometimes we go through life and we kind of say, I'll pray for you, you know. Somebody's going through, I'll be praying for you. And we kind of say that, you know. And sometimes people say to us, I've been told many, many times, Pastor, I'm praying for you. I really appreciate that, you know. But you have to believe it. You have to believe that when someone prays for you, things happen. You need to know that it's not just something there. Sometimes in our world, let's have a moment of silence or something. Or let's have a moment of prayer, right? But we really don't believe it. We just stop. Maybe in a football game, you know, something happened in our country. Some people got killed and died, some tragedy. Suddenly everybody's quiet for a brief 15 seconds or something like that. And we think that does something. Well, that does nothing. Unless we are praying to a God who can. A God who can make a difference and change the circumstance of our life. So Paul talks about that. He says, I know that you guys are praying for me through your prayers. And because of that, God provides through his Holy Spirit things in my life. He said, I have a confidence that even though I am here in prison in chain, I'm confident that whatever happens is going to work for my deliverance. Now, he's not necessarily saying that he's not going to get killed, that he's going to be free. He had no idea that in 2 years he would be free from this prison. He doesn't know that. But he was confident nevertheless because his God, our God, when he says something, he does it, okay? And when people are praying to him for us, he does things. He changed the circumstances. The second thing I find here that's interesting is he talks about not only his confidence, but also his expectation. Now, think with me. You're in prison now. You're chained to a Roman soldier. You hear all kinds of stuff going on. You are expecting that sometime along the way, you are going to be dragged out before people and you will be tried, right? That is an expectation. And what he's talking about here is that he has an expectation and he adds the word hope to it afterwards, that when that happens, not if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. My expectation, he's saying, that when that happens, that I will have the courage. He says, I would have sufficient courage that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, either by life or death. He's anticipating that this is going to happen. Something's going to happen to his life. But what he is expecting by God's grace and by the power of the living God is that he would have that courage to go through it. You know what most of us do? We rather just like, God, let it never happen to me. Let me never face that. Let me never be dragged out in front. Let me never face that trial. Let me never have those experiences. God, would you keep my life safe and easy? That's kind of what we want to do. And so we don't have those great expectations of courage. But I want to tell you, there are people all around this world, and you can probably read about it every once in a while. I have this magazine called The Voice of the Martyr. You know, it's about people, Christians that are going through persecution. I read these stories about people in the Middle East and in India and places like that, and some of them are children. And I read it, what they did and the kind of courageous actions that they took. I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, that's amazing. This little child can do that. Standing for Jesus Christ, being courageous enough to never, ever, ever be ashamed at all. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. So he had this confidence that whatever is happening in his life, right, it's going to work out all right. Not all right in the sense of he's going to be delivered necessarily, but it's going to be all right because God has his plan and he has made promises to him. His word is to be believed. And then he says, I have this expectation, almost anticipation that I am going to be brought out to a place. And he's almost excited about it almost, right? He's out there, he says, I expect that. This is going to happen, and I want to be courageous enough to be able to speak it, to speak forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the Apostle Paul. You want to talk about joy. That's how you have joy. It's not happenstance. It is not circumstance at all. It is the joy that's deep in his heart. He just gets this idea that this man is just amazing. You know, he's standing there. He's sitting there. He's lying there with a soldier chained to him. And he's like, God, I know you're real. I don't doubt your word. And I can't wait to that moment in which you take me before whoever it is that I can share my faith about who I am and who you are. Now, the third thing in this passage, he says, and I call it his declaration. I don't know if you have ever declared your faith in God. I don't know if you have. Sometimes you can do it easily. There's all kinds of stuff you can actually buy. There's a little plaque that we have. And the declaration says, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know that declaration, right? That comes from Joshua. You remember that. Joshua was speaking to the people of Israel. You know, after Moses went by and it's Joshua's time, and he wanted them to know that I believe in God. You may not follow me, you may not follow God, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love that. You know, maybe the world out there, they don't care. They don't believe in God. They want us to do this and that and that and that. All these things are sinful against God. But as for me and my house, you know, those who live in my house, those who walk in, those who hear what we say, they will know that we are serving the Lord. That's a declaration. And it's important for God's people to declare these kind of things. You know, declare it for yourself. Declare it with your spouse. Declare it with your children. Declare it with your friends. And that's one of the things that we do in our house. We have that. And when people come into our house, every single person that comes into our house, we ask them, can I pray for you? Will you pray with us? What can I pray for you? Because in our house, we believe that it is a house that belongs to the Almighty God, and we are serving the Lord. If a person comes into our house that is declared to be servants of the living God, we want to ask them, can we pray for you? Well, the Apostle Paul made a declaration here. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Great declaration. It is something that he stated, and he stated publicly. Obviously, gazillion millions of people have seen this and read this declaration. Are you and I willing to declare this? For me to live is Christ. You know what that means? For me to live is nothing else. There's nothing else in this world that I'm living for. It is not my family, as important as that may be. It is not my wife. It is not my job. It is not my possession. For me to live is not any of those things. That's not why I'm living. For me to live is Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's a declaration. You declare it, you believe it, you state it, and you stand firm on it. That's what we as people need to do once in a while, you know. We have to declare our faith, our strength. And then to die? Because sometimes when you declare something, you know, when you declare, for instance, if a soldier says, I believe in freedom, you know what that means? Sometimes it might cost you your life, as the hundreds of thousands of soldiers that died in World War II, as they declare freedom. Declaration demands something of you. And if it's all in, if it's all about all being all sold out, then it may cost you your life. So the Apostle Paul said, you know what, I don't care. For me to live, and he declared it, is Christ, Jesus Christ, no one else, nothing else. And if it costs me to die, I'll gladly give it. And by the way, it's actually gain. It is actually a promotion if I was to die. That's the declaration that the Apostle Paul gave. Have you done that? Have you done that? I know the verse is there, but have you done that? I want to tell you the first time I did that, very clearly. I was already a Christian. I was 19 years old. I was a Christian for 6 years already. And I read all these verses, and of course you say, of course, right? We're marching down the streets of New York City. We're marching, cheering, and chanting Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. You know, that's Jesus. Did all those things, right? It sounds like I'm declaring. Everybody's declaring. But really? You know, I'm with a bunch of Christians. I'm safe. They're not locking me up. They're not taking me to places that we might execute. No, none of that. It's fairly safe. But when I was 19 years old, I remember this one moment in chapel. when the Lord was speaking deeply into my heart. And I made that declaration. I said, Lord Jesus, I want to serve you. And there was a very specific way. I want to serve you as a missionary to Thailand. I want to do that, Lord Jesus. If you send me there, if I die after one day, that's perfectly fine. I want to do it, whatever it costs. And I declared it to the Lord that for me to live was to serve him. And if I die, that is a gain. Now, that's not the only moments. There are other moments, you know, in your life. Every once in a while, declarations are like that. You got to go back. You got to go back to your declaration, you know. It's like, you know, when you're married, however many years, once in a while, you got to go back. And if you have it, you know, open up your vow to your spouse. Remember what you said to your wife. Remember what you said to your husband. Open it up, especially during times that are difficult. Open it up and remind yourself of your declaration of commitment and faithfulness, especially when you're being tempted, when you are being tempted by something you know should never happen. Go back and remember how you declared your faithfulness to the one you love so much 25 years ago. The Almighty God is the same. Are we willing to declare that? For me to live is Christ. The Apostle Paul did it. He was in a place where, you know what, it is not just a whimsical thing. It is not something that will never happen. It is very, very possible. Remember, he did not know that he would ever get out of the prison, ever. But he made that declaration. Now, the last part is interesting. As you read that part of scripture, and he's talking almost to himself, you know. He's struggling through this, and it's all there. You know, he said, what should I do, you know? What, do I want to go and be with the Lord and so forth? That passage, right, is interesting. This is the motivation. What motivates him? You know, it's easy, if you believe it, that to be with Christ, to be in heaven, is far greater. And when you're going through these tough times, you know, there are moments when people's like, you know what, life is not worth living. I'd much rather die because, you know, in heaven is far better. And the fact of the matter, it is. It is. I think we don't think that because we live in a country where it seems like life, preserving life, is all that we care about. We spend billions of dollars trying to give ourselves a little more time to live and so forth. We don't want to die. And human nature, being who we are, you know, the natural instinct is to preserve life, our life. But the Apostle Paul understood it totally different. He realized that God is the creator of life, and that when you die, you don't, it's not like you lost everything. It's not like you disappear. It's not like you suddenly, you know, become somewhere that no one knows where. No, no. He realized that to be dead, to be gone, to lose your body, life in your body, is to be with the Lord. So he's struggling with this, and he's saying, what should I choose, you know? And he says, if I am to go on living in the body, now understanding that people get executed all the time in the prisons of Rome, right? He says, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. Here is Paul speaking. I want to share with you a little bit more on this. He says in verse 23, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which he says is better by far. Have you ever thought about that? You know, last year I think we had 25 or so funerals that was associated with CBC, you know. That's a lot of people who went to be with the Lord. But you know what? Have we ever thought that they're actually experiencing something that the apostle said, Paul said, is better by far. Better by far. But then he says in verse 24, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in this body. This is his motivation. Now, let me just share with you one word. I try not to use too many of these words, but it's important. This word, depart, that is used here, that the Apostle Paul used. It is a word that means dying. You know, when he says, you know, when I desire to depart, it means I want to die. That's what it means. In 2 Timothy and also in 2 Corinthians, he uses the same word again, and he talks about dying. So no illusion here. It's not a departing anywhere else but death, okay? But the word in the Greek is called analyseia. That's the word, analyseia. And it's interesting, that word, you know, the depart, it's not just departing, going somewhere. It has some definition to it. It's first of all, it can mean, like, for instance, if you are going camping, you're getting a tent, you break down your tent, and you leave the tent, you break camp, departing from a situation where you're in this day or this week, whatever, you're breaking camp, going somewhere else, very different. It also can mean a ship that is anchored at on shore, you know, moored there, and suddenly you depart, pulling away. In other words, pulling away from all these things of this town, you go now on a journey. That's what it means. But even more than that, better understanding on this word depart, is that of this, like a prisoner who's in chain, and they release all your chains, and you go, and you're free. One more understanding of this word in the Greek. And that is an animal that's burdened, like an oxen or a horse. He's got all these weights on him, you know. He's got things tied to him. He's pulling this thing. And this word, analysia, means you remove it all, unleash him, unshackle this animal, and let it run free. That's what the word means. And so that's how the Apostle Paul sees death. He says, I desire to depart. Are you kidding? Of course, I desire to be without these chains. I desire to have no burdens. I desire to be free from this, you know, human tent. I desire to be free from being stuck in this town and be sailing along in eternity. I desire to do all those things. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying. I desire to be free from all these, to depart. And furthermore, it says, to depart and be with Christ. Who doesn't want that? Are you kidding me? You know, if we don't understand how great it is to depart and to be with Jesus Christ, we have no idea what the gospel is about. I remember last year, my niece got married in Baltimore. And so Barbara and I went there, and the benefit of it, in addition to see my niece get married, and I was doing the wedding, was that we get to see our children and grandchildren. So we flew into Baltimore, you know, and we got there, and my son's family came down from New York, and my two little granddaughters were there, four and 2 years old. We had a great time with them. My son couldn't come at the same time because he was doing some things. It was, a holiday, and he was on patrol. He's a sergeant in New York City, so he couldn't come, but he came a little later. And so he came in by train, and so we picked him up from the train station. Then after that, I drove to the house where we were staying, my sister's house. I want to tell you, I wish I had a videotape of it. I don't. I didn't get it. It didn't too quick for me. And my son came in. He's got his little knapsack and all. We just kind of walked there. And my two little granddaughters saw their daddy, and the biggest smiles I've seen, you know, across the room, charge. The four-year-old, you know, Victoria, charge, and the little one, the tiny little Elizabeth, she's running along, just wrapped their arms around his legs. He's 6'2", he's a big guy. Wrapped their arms around his leg and just so excited to see their daddy, whom they didn't see for just one day, you know? That was cute, I gotta tell you, that was really cute. It reminded me of all those moments when my sons were growing up, you know, how they just get so excited about seeing their parents. You know, I multiply that by a million. And that's what it's like to see Jesus Christ. You see why Paul was so excited to depart and be with Christ? That's what the scripture says. But, he says, I know that it's more important for me to be here. Think about that. Here he is suffering in prison, in chain, and still his motivation was not for himself. It would have been easy to say, you know, take me, Lord. You know, it's just too much here. Take me home. No, he said, it is more important for me to be here to serve you. And that's what being a Christian is all about. That's what being in the family of God is about. That's what it means. You know, when we're brothers and sisters-in-law, our motivation, we love Jesus. We want to depart and be with Jesus, but our motivation is to serve one another. Paul gains nothing by wanting this. It's not like he had a great salary, a great package, a great retirement on earth. No, he just wanted to serve the people there. He loved these people so much, even though some of them are killing him. And so he says, and because of that, convinced of it, I know that I will remain. I will continue with all of you for your progress and your joy in the faith. Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome? I mentioned to you that for pastors, you know this already, only 10% of pastors ever finish being pastors. And if you're ever a pastor, you understand. If you're not, you wouldn't. But I want to tell you, I wish there were a lot more. If they would just understand this a little bit, be a little tougher, I would say. You know what? God's going to give you the strength you need. Stay motivated to serve God's people. That's what Paul did. That's what it's all about. And he did. By the way, in case you don't know, he got out after 2 years. This is his first imprisonment in Rome. And afterwards, he went and met up with Timothy and Titus and began to minister, continue to minister in so many ways for the next 2 to 3 years, depending on historical things we're not sure about. And then he was again captured, imprisoned. And that's where you read the Timothy letters and the Titus letter, where he talks about his eventual death, and he was executed. And they cut his head off in the very prison of Rome that they brought him. But he had 3 more years or so of ministry. The 3 years that he talked about, where he was passionate, he was motivated to serve the Lord, to serve people, to reach many, many more for Jesus Christ. You understand his joy? He's all sold out. Now we're going to talk about more as we continue in our letter to the Philippians. But this passage is awesome. If you're not sold out to Jesus Christ, then you're missing the phenomenal oomph that the Spirit of God will give you. You don't have the joy that comes from being all sold out. You cannot have the passion for God and the passion for his people if you're not all sold out for him. Because there's always something else that is easier. But not if you're serving the Lord. Not if Jesus is your all in all. And if you can make that declaration, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Let me tell you, your life will not be lacking in joy. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to come before you. Thank you for the phenomenal gift of joy that comes through knowing you and serving you. Oh Lord God, I pray that each person in this room will be able to make that declaration that we are all sold out to you. That for us to live is Jesus Christ. And if that takes us to a place of death, we are just promoted and we are gaining because of eternal life. We love you and thank you.